Good morning. It is good to see you in the place of worship. You are at the right time, in the right place with? Amen, amen. We have a few announcements. You can find some information in your bulletin. And I think I need that exercise. If you'd like to join exercise group, yeah, Tuesday and Thursday in the fellowship hall these days, so you can come. And also next slide, yeah, men's group. On Wednesday, Bible study will take a summer break, so it will resume in September with John's, the Gospel of John. And men's group going on, and youth group today. Thumbs up, thumbs up. And tomorrow we will have, oh yes, after the second service, we will have potluck. Oh my goodness. Woo-hoo! Yes! We are Methodist, come on. Yes. And tomorrow we will have Ed Council at 7 p.m., so please remember that. And blessing of the backpack, second Sunday. August, the second Sunday, we will do outdoor service around the gazebo. Please remember that. Instead of two services, we will have one at 9:30. Please remember that. If you come 8 a.m., yes, I'm happy to use you, use your help. So you can come and help, but we will have service at 9:30. And these days, as you know, we are collecting some items for buddy bags. Some breakfast item for kids in our local area. So please remember that. If you have any question, please find Roberta. And today, our liturgist is Wendy. Yes. Let's gather our mind and worship God together.
Good morning. Please rise and join me in the call to worship. Sing God's praise. Give thanks to the Lord above. Seek the Lord and trust God's strength. Proclaim God's wonderful works. Live in the spirit of love and grace. Thanks for Christ's marvelous love. Please join me in the opening hymn for the beauty of the earth, verses 1, 2, 5, and 6.
Over and around us.
It is time for us to share our joys and concerns. During the week, we have a call from Nancy and Jinmo. Birthday people sit together. Happy birthday. Yeah, we can give them big hands. And also we have Mallory's birthday during the week. And we have one couple who have wedding anniversary, and we can see the flowers for their wedding anniversary. It's Frank and Jane. Probably they will come for the second service. You can send a card or celebrate. I mean, we can celebrate their special day together. And now I want to invite you to share your joys and concerns. What joy you want to share as family and prayer request?
We had an amazing week with our kids and grandkids down in Lake Monroe, Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great week.
Yes, that's very nice. Thank you. Thank you.
It's wonderful to have those good Christian friends who pray for you and stand beside you.
Yes. Yes, that's very nice. Thank you.
Prayers for our daughter Corinne. She's got weak ankles.
Oh.
She's always twisting her ankles. She twisted again last night, stepped in a hole and twisted it pretty bad. So we're not sure how bad it is yet, but
oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, please remember Corinne in your prayers. Yes, fast and well recovery. Yes, thank you. We have been praying for one person in our office almost for a half year. Finally, all of a sudden, we had many candidates. Yes, and Step Parish sub-team had an interview with them, and we will have Step Parish meeting between the services. And I want to give all the hands, I mean big hands, to Step Parish, and please continue to have a new person in our prayers. Yes, that's my joy. Yes. Oh, mine. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So grateful for her, and prayers that we'll soon find a permit for this.
Mm-hmm.
No offense.
Yes. Thank you, Anita. Yes.
And I want to say thank you to God because Saturday night the storm was bad. We live beside Brandywine, and we lost two trees, and the trees in the front of the house
oh my.
Fall on our son's car. But the damage was minimal, so thanks God for that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for the prayers.
Yes. Yeah. You have seen many trees down and some damaged house, so please remember if you know somebody around you or in your neighborhood who got damaged, whose houses were damaged, so please remember them in your prayers. Yes. And please continue to have Jane Partridge. Now she's home. She's home. And also remember Reverend Normal Parson in your prayers. And let's turn to God and pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for every day. Every day is a new day you grant to us, God. For that we give you thanks. During the week we had storms and we have some trees down, some houses damaged. But even with that, we can have a new day, a new life every day. Lord, for that we give you thanks. Give us courage and strength to live every day with your hope, courage, and love. And also, Lord, help us remember your grace and love whenever we take life for granted. God, remind us of who we are and whose we are every day. And be with us in our journey as we seek to listen to your word and teaching. We need you, Lord. When life challenges us and fear paralyzes us, Lord, give us the ability to trust you and know you are with us. Guide us and inspire us. God, there are many of our siblings in Christ who find it difficult in this season to be thankful because they are overwhelmed by so many challenges. We remember the people who are physically and spiritually challenged. Lord, count their challenges and know their needs. And listen to their prayers and also our prayers as we have them in our prayers. Lord, be a strong presence for them and hold them gently and tenderly in your love. Lord, and help us be a reflection of yours, your love, grace, forgiveness. Be with us. Every day be with us and help us be with you. With all our hearts and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Please be seated. And let us sing together Amazing Grace verses 2 and 4.
Close my heart.
Our scripture readings today, the first one comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. The second verses come from Mark chapter 12, 28 through 31. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, which commandment is the first of all? Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let me ask you, it's a simple question that every Christian, good Christian, should memorize them. What's the best part of the Bible? And what's the greatest commandment? What's the commandment Jesus said summarize all the laws and all the prophets?
You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your might, all of your strength,
and your neighbor. Amen! Great!
And you should love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen! Great! You see, you know that. You remember that. Yes, congratulations. And it was Jesus, not me. Jesus said, that's the best part. That's the greatest commandment that we need to remember that. You know, we have been talking about some lessons in the Bible, and the Bible promises when we practice each one of them, we will find more joy and meaning in life. So we have talked about the first one was golden rule, and we also talked a little bit about justice and compassion, and we also talked about justice and kindness with Micah 6:8, and also talked about forgiveness, and last week, and bless you, talked about generosity, generosity of spirit, generosity of money, generosity of your time. And today, I think this series should end up having this lesson, the greatest commandment. And each one of them touches every aspect of our lives. When we practice them, we become a totally a new person whom God wanted to be. And I believe everyone in this room agree, the greatest commandment should be the best part of the lessons. Then, how does the Old Testament see these great commandments? How do they see these commandments? When you read the Old Testament, especially Deuteronomy, whenever you find God speaking, you hear, listen. Whenever you find listen, you better pay double attention to what's following. Here, listen in Hebrew, that is Shema. Shema. So you find Shema Israel. Shema Israel. It's a powerful word God used when God commanded Israel and made a decree. So there was no other option for the people of God when God spoke Shema, or when the prophet spoke on behalf of God, Shema. So in Deuteronomy 6, we find God speaking Shema. Shema Israel. The Lord is your God. The Lord alone. Not money, not power, not greed, not other false God, but only God. God alone. And it continues, you shall love Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your might. And it doesn't stop there. It continues, keep these, recite them, and bind them as a sign on your hand, on your forehead, and your door, house, gate, wherever you go. So faithful Jews should take these commandments everywhere, and they take it seriously, embracing them into their heart, mind, and soul. God alone, Yahweh alone. And they should have these commandments in their homes and workplace, repeating and reciting them every morning and evening, so they always remember and practice. Lord in my life is God alone. I'm not God. God is my Lord. Nothing else is God. I am to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And my mission is to love. Technically, that is what Moses spoke on behalf of God to the Israelite. And in Mark's Gospel, when Jesus was asked, which one is the best part? Which one is the greatest commandment? Because they had, in Jesus' time, they had so many, literally thousands, over 6,000 rules and commandments. When Jesus was asked, which one is the greatest one? Then he replied, immediately, love God and love your neighbors as yourself, without any hesitation. Then was Jesus smart enough to summarize the whole Old Testament and all the Moses law in a second? Yes, I believe he was super smart. But I also believe, as a faithful Jew, Jesus also recite these commandments every morning and every evening. When he was getting up, walking with the people, preaching, healing, and going to bed, I believe Jesus, this faithful Jew, recited these greatest commandments every day. Love God and love your neighbors. And we can fully practice these commandments when we believe that God is the God of the universe, who created the universe and all things that exist. Let me ask you, why? Why do you believe in God? We know it used to be self-evident to most people around us that there is only one God. I believe that is still true. But we also know that there is an increasing number of people saying, I don't know. I don't believe in God. Maybe science. Science explains everything. I don't think that I need to believe in God. We have met people like that. Of course, all of us at some point have doubt about God sometimes. Life experience can sometimes breed doubt and questions about God's existence. As your pastor, I just want to encourage you to ponder and question as we grow in faith. And I also want you to run into God whenever challenge finds you, instead of running away from God. We run into God. I believe in God partly because of the beauty of nature and the order of the universe. It's beautiful. When I look at the sky and when I look at beautiful snowflakes and learn that each snowflake has its unique pattern, way different from others. When I look at grass, flowers, and trees in the spring, they seem dead during the winter. but they bloom and become green again and make flowers. That reminds me of God's creativity and even resurrection in our lives. When contemplating the complexity of DNA and all the complicated structure, I can't help but think of God. You know, I think about physics. I think of God's handiwork. There are so many bright people in science, much, much, much smarter than I am. When they talk about the universe, when they talk about the law of nature, quantum physics, dark matter, and particles, to me, they are saying, look how awesome God is. Look what God has done. And the best part of my faith is I have experienced God's work in my life. I have felt God's love, mercy, forgiveness, and grace. God has given me and you, not just for me, all of us, inspiration, strength, encouragement, and guidance. Every day I wake up and I'm grateful for one more day. Can I earn one more day? Can I buy even 1 second with my power? No. I'm just given. When I feel my heart beating and my breath flowing, I feel God's presence because I have zero control over them. And I'm grateful every day for every one of you. You know, here's the secret. I didn't talk to my wife. Please don't talk to her. I'm grateful for her every day because she's still with me. After 18 years of living together and 27 years being friends, she's still with me. That, you know, to me, that's a miracle. I have no control. I can say that can happen only by the grace of God. Paul Tillich, one of the greatest theologians in the 20th century, he said, God is the answer. God is the answer to the question implied in our awareness of the finitude. We are mortal. We have challenges. We have questions. We have doubts. And God is the answer. Let's think about that. Where do I find unconditional love? Where do I find companionship when I'm all alone? Where do I find meaning and purpose of my life? How can I deal with all the sickness and tragedy? Where do I find forgiveness in a second chance when I make mistake? Where do I find hope in the face of death? We wrestle with these questions. But what's interesting about these existential questions, it is, they all point to the same answer. That is God. That is God who is the answer to our questions. And the fact that we wrestle with these questions point to the fact that we are meant to be searching for the answer. We are meant to search in our life for God. The answer is the one who created you and me and who says, I am that I am, and I'm living. Presence. I'm the source of life and source of everything that exists and all of these things you have been searching for. I would say my experience of God is the reason why I believe. When I became a Christian, when I became a follower of Jesus, things began to change. When I put my trust in God, I began to sense God's presence. There were times I heard God speaking, not audibly, but loudly and profoundly enough in my heart and mind. I felt God nudging and whispering to do the things that I would never have done otherwise. And I have seen many people God has shaped, molded, and guided with God's hand. God has made me a better person. You don't want to imagine the person I could have been without God. Here is what I believe whenever I preach. I've told you a few times before, I spend almost every week over 15 hours for this short message. And a couple more hours making some pictures and slides, some others. But I do not believe my sermon itself will change any of your heart. It's not going to change your heart. It's not going to make any difference. Yet, if any words touch your heart and you find the meaning in them and you take it, that's not me or my sermon, but that's God. God is working. That's the Holy Spirit, the power of Holy Spirit, the God who called the Israel, Shema Israel, is calling each one of us, Shema, Shema Sterling Wesley, Shema, listen. And God knows you by your name. And God loves you more than you can imagine, possibly imagine or believe. And life, our life is found in trusting in God. Then how do we respond to God, God's love? What are we supposed to do? What you are supposed to do is believe in God, yes, of course. Otherwise, we lose our direction. Of course, we are called to believe in God, but that's not enough. That's why I love the epistle of James, James' letter. He says, we ought to do more than just believe in God. And he points out, even demon, evil, believes in God, and they shudder. So we got to do more than just to believe. And God is looking for something more than that. God is looking for us to love God with all our hearts, mind, and soul, and strength. Then how do we love God, who is invisible? The love of God we learn from the Bible is agape. It is not warm, fuzzy feelings. It is selfless, sacrificial, and unconditional love. I love God. It means I'm seeking to bless God and honor God. And I try to love and act in ways that please God. You know, a lot of surveys, researches says most American, most people say they want to be good people. They want to be a good person, whether they have faith or not. Yes, we want to be a good people. But that's not enough. That's not our goal. That's our process to be the people of God. We want to be a good people because we believe in God and we love God and we honor God. And God is looking for us to love our neighbors. It means when I walk out the door, I remember that is my mission to love. My mission is to love. Love people and all God's creation. And it is my mission to love God, which affects how I treat the people every day, my neighbors and colleagues and workplace. And it is my mission to love God, which shapes how patient. I'm really not good at that. How about you? It is my mission to love God, which shapes how patient I am when encountering somebody with different opinions, somebody who is annoying, and even somebody who has hurt me intentionally or unintentionally. It is our decision to choose which path we take in living our lives and following God's commandment of love. And these great commandments guide us and dictate everything we do in our lives. And here is my hope and prayers. As we conclude this sermon series on biblical lessons, may these great commandments truly abide in us and change the rhythm of your life. We have been talking about so many lessons. Golden rules, Micah, forgiveness, and generosity. That should be the rhythm of our life to manifest God's unconditional love. May we become true vessels of God's love to the people we meet. May we become the signs of living God in our lives and the world. Amen. During the week, I talked to Mala. Mala, you know, I forget so many things these days. I don't know. I need to write it down and put it on my desk, on my table, on my book. I forget all the things. And Mala said, oh, you are getting old. Oh, Mala, I don't want to go there, but yes. We forget so many things, right? And I'm grateful we do have the communion. It's a reminder of God's love and God's trust. It's a reminder. It's not just the love we receive from God, but the love we reflect from God's love. Whenever we receive the communion, we remember Jesus' unconditional love. And we say, God, I will live again by your love. Guide me, lead me. Strengthen me. Let's pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Lord, bless each one of us as we seek to be your people, your followers, your faithful disciple. God, bless each one of us, guide us, and strengthen us. And also bless these precious elements of the Holy Communion. God, make them the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So that as we take them, make us the body of Jesus Christ, redeemed by his blood. Amen. Thank you. Would you please leave? Come, let the Lord feed you, nurture you, and guide you.